There is such a depression, a lull in the body of Christ right now. And all of us, you need to step out of it, and you need to step out of it today. Quit watching over and over and over and over the new stuff.
Why do you run from me?
Are you running from the love of God? God's love never fails. Welcome to Love Never Fails, the radio ministry of Calvary Chapel, Fort Worth, with Pastor Bill Quinn. Well, we hope you're having a great day, and we're pleased that you've joined us for the broadcast. Pastor Bill's study from the New Testament Epistle of Ephesians continues this week, and today he teaches the message, The Believer's Lifestyle. Now let's join the study.
We're going to be in Ephesians chapter 5. We're going to start a brand new chapter. We're going to look this morning as we travel through the great epistle of Paul written from prison, of course. Ephesians is one of my, I love it. I just love teaching it. I love reading it. I think I've probably read out of all the epistles, Ephesians more than any of them. And you know, it's amazing when you look at the breakdown. Now that we move into chapter 5, you know, we're going to talk about, as we've learned in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 1, that we, as believers now, we're to walk worthy of our calling. Remember the word worthy in the Greek language speaks of a set of scales, if you will, 5 pounds and 5 pounds. It's equal. So, in other words, we not only hear the word of God, learn the word of God, we apply the word of God and do the word of God. Amen? That's how we walk worthy of our calling. So here in chapter 5, we're going to have the walk of love that we walk in. We're going to have the walk of wisdom. We're going to have the walk of purity and so forth. And then we're going to move from there into marriage. And then after we move into marriage and raising our children, that's after this section here, then we move into warfare. Do you ever think how God puts that together? You get married, then the next chapter is war and all that. I'm just thinking here. And we're also, of course, going to have the walk of wisdom. Now, that is our lifestyle, okay? If you're a new creation in Christ, that's our walk. Now, with all that being said, I know that if you have been a Christian any length of time, just even a year, you have probably read Ephesians chapter 5, I would say a lot, especially verse 1. And here's what we want to remove before we go into any talking about our lifestyle, the believer's lifestyle. We want to make sure that we get our minds right. In Ephesians chapter 5, verse 1, look at it there. It says, therefore, be imitators of God as dear children. That verse is over the top unbelievable. Let me ask you a question. Since the moment you woke up this morning, have you been an imitator of God in your thoughts, in your heart, the words that come out of your mouth? In the prayer time, you spent, what, an hour at least in prayer this morning before you got here, right? You can laugh. It's okay to laugh through the mask. See, I can't see your faces. I can't read your eyes, okay? Because I can't see that far away, but I can tell if you have teeth when you smile, but you now you're all covered up. So listen, think about that now. Be honest with yourself. I'm honest with myself. This morning, just today, just the last few hours, have you imitated God? Every thought, every deed, every action, have you done that? You see, we read Ephesians chapter 5, verse 1, therefore be imitators of God. And we just let it go right over our heads. Loved one, we cannot this morning or any time do that. This morning, as I put this together, you know, about 4 o'clock, the finishing touches. You know, I wrote this down. I want to read exactly what I said. My prayer on this verse, I said, oh Lord, please remove the deadly familiarity of this astonishing verse. Remove it, Lord, the deadly familiarity from our minds and from our hearts, and renew in our hearts and minds the incredible, unbelievable truth that is found in that one verse. A great scholar said it this way about verse 1. He said, this is the loftiest, most exalting endeavor that can possibly be set before any man, any person, in any generation. Think about it. God calls you, commands the believer. Now that you've learned all who you are in Christ, that you've been adopted, that you've been sealed, that you were chosen before the foundation of the earth, that you've been blessed with every spiritual blessing in Christ Jesus in the heavenly places, after all that God has done for you and for me, he says, now that I filled you with the Spirit, sealed you with the Spirit, now that you walk in my grace and understand my grace, that I chose you, want you, adore you, and love you, sent Jesus to die for you, now I want you to do something. I want you to imitate my Son. Therefore, be imitators of God as dear children. What a great calling that we have to imitate our God. Amen? I mean, think how deep that verse really is. You know, when it says therefore, that takes us back to chapter 4. Remember last Sunday, verse 32, where it says that we are to forgive one another. And then it tells us how, even as God in Christ has forgiven you. The word forgiven means to carry away, okay? Every sin, your past, your present, and your future sins, have they been carried away? Are they as far as the east is from the west? Are they resting right now, as it says in Micah, into the very sea of the depth? They're hidden forever? Yes, they are. Think about that. And we look at this scripture that therefore, and we should be forgiving one another just as God forgave us. And we're to also to receive one another as we would receive Jesus Christ our Lord. That's Romans 15:7, by the way. No. So he says, therefore, be imitators of God. The word, the Greek word is me tus. I believe is how you say it, if I remember correctly. We get our English word from that Greek word. We get our English word mimic. We are to mimic God, if you will. You ever ask yourself what that really means, to mimic God? I mean, does it mean that we have now, if we're going to mimic God, we can send fire upon people or something, you know, or create a universe or say, let there be light? Is that what it's saying? It's not saying this at all. Listen, that one verse is the entire sum of the teaching of the New Testament. We are the new man. We are the new creation. We are the body of Christ. We are the church of Jesus Christ. Amen? So what are we to do? The body of Christ, the Bible teaches, as we learned back in Ephesians 1, we are the fullness, the church, we are the fullness of him, meaning Jesus, who fills all in all. What a glorious word of who we are. We're to imitate our Lord. We're not to be gods, but we are to be godly in an ungodly world. Now listen, you know, we're to imitate the Lord. Why? Because we can. You ever think about that? For example, in 2 Peter 1:3 and 4, it tells us, it says, as by his divine power, God's divine power, he has given unto us, since we're born from above, he has given unto us everything. Say that word through your mask. Everything. Thank you. Everything that pertains to life and everything that pertains to godliness. You go down to verse 4 in Peter, and it says, we are now partakers of his divine nature. Now, the reason that we can imitate God is because God is our Father. Does that make sense? See, we are his dear children, it says. That word literally means children are beloved children. Aren't you glad that God loves you tonight, this morning, this afternoon, next year, whatever it is? Yes. Oh, listen, you know, have you ever noticed that children, they imitate their parents, right? Yeah. You know, dad goes out into the garage and he starts, say, gets a pair of pliers out and, you know, you start working on something. And what does your son or your daughter do if they're out there with you? Well, they're watching you, so they go over to the toolbox. And they pull out something, and they start just doing what you're doing, but they may go up to something else, like, you know, your car that's perfect painted. And but they're working. Come on, they're going to imitate you. You're the greatest influence in their life. They love you. They adore you. You are the heroes. Your mom, your dad, when you're little, you're everything to a child. You know, when I was younger and my son was real small, he would, for some reason, I don't know why, he loved to stand on a stool in the bathroom when I was shaving. And you know how you shave, guys. You know, you blow out this thing, you know what? Of course, today you guys don't even shave. You like that look, right? I mean, you got to have that, what is it? It's 16th inch of a beard or something. I don't do that. And what would your son, if you know, if you can identify with me, would his facial expressions as you were saying become his, right? Yeah. And then when you started mowing the yard, man, he had to have, you know, like I bought Thomas one of those little mowers that you know, but it wasn't a reel, it was plastic, you know. But and then I want to learn. And, you know, finally you put him behind the gas mower, you know, and out there. And then when they get about 13, they don't do that anymore. You see what I'm getting at? Well, here we're to imitate our Father in heaven. Why? Well, just like it says in 1 Peter, you know, 1:14, it says, as obedient children, because we are the dear children of God. It says, as dear children, in all of your conduct, everything that you do, God the Father tells us, you be holy, for I am holy. Isn't it wonderful to know that this morning, right this minute, if you are born from above, you are a child of God, you are his dear children, and the Bible teaches us in Ephesians chapter 1, it says that we now are accepted in the beloved, and the beloved is Jesus Christ. That means that God the Father loves you exactly the same as he loves Jesus Christ, the Son of God. What a glorious, wonderful truth. The Sermon on the Mount, when Jesus was talking, he said, you have heard that it had been said that you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemies. And Jesus said, oh no, but I say unto you, you're to love your enemies. You're to bless those who curse you. Do good to those who hate you. Pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you. Is that what you do? Do you do good to those that don't want to do good to you? Do you pray for those who spite you, mock you, make fun of you? Well, listen now. Jesus said, when you do that, listen carefully, that you may be sons, that you may be daughters of your Father in heaven. Why? You're imitating him. You're living, doing, and saying, and acting as he would act. Listen, we are in the midst of all of this. I mean, before I go on, listen to me now. There is such a depression, a lull in the body of Christ right now. And we, all of us, you need to step out of it, and you need to step out of it today. Quit watching over and over and over and over the COVID news stuff. Okay, we know it's here. We know we don't have a vaccine. We know that people are dying. We know that people are catching it. We need to quit looking at all of it and start looking at the author and the finisher of our faith, Jesus Christ. We need to get back in the Word of God. We need to quit worrying about what's going to happen today, tomorrow, because we are the body of Christ. We don't have to worry. Somebody asked me the other day, and I may have said this Wednesday night. I don't even remember. It's too far back. Somebody asked me, if you had it all to do over again, Bill, now that you're only 45, what would you do all over again in your life? If you could change one thing as a Christian, what would you change? And I immediately knew, because I've talked to the Lord about it. If I could change one thing, just one thing in my Christian walk, it would be this. I would do what Jesus said when he said, do not worry. Do not worry about your life. Jesus didn't say, don't care about your life. Jesus didn't say, don't make plans. Of course, you want to make plans and give your plans unto the Lord. But Jesus said, don't worry. You don't have anything to worry about. You see, we can look back at our Christian walk and we can see we didn't have anything to worry about at all, right? Look at all what God has done in the past. But, we're going into the future and we don't know what. Listen. We don't have to worry about anything. The word worry means to be torn apart. It means to be pulled in two different directions. Worry says there is no God. We don't have to worry. If I had it all to do over again, I wouldn't worry. Don't let this get you defeated and get you down. Listen, the coronavirus, you know what it's doing and all the stuff that's happening in our nation. I know I'm off. I'll get back to my text. Listen to me now. Here's what it's doing. It is hiding, because we're so consumed with what's the news and all the rest of it, it's hiding what God is doing. God says, I want to make known to what I'm doing. And on the other hand, the devil is using it as his, wow, the church, they're all fearful and consumed and all of this and complaining whether they should wear masks or not and da-da-da-da-da, you know what I mean. And it's hiding what he's doing from the church when we are in the greatest warfare that we have ever been in my lifetime right now. Right now, quit looking at what's happening. We're the body of Christ. Now, I said all that to say this. God is our Father. We are his dear children. That means we are representatives the family of God. Do you ever think that? When you walk down the street, you walk into the grocery store with your mask on and your sanitizer and all that. You know what I mean? Do you walk in and go, I'm of the family of God? Do you ever think that way? I'm not saying you say that. I mean, think it. Listen, when you're fearful, you say, I'm of the family of God. Remember back in chapter 2, verse 19 of Ephesians, listen carefully. Now, therefore, you're no longer strangers. No, we're not. You're no longer foreigners. Here's who we are. We're fellow citizens with the saints. We're the saints of God, the set apart ones. Here it is. Members of the household of God. Are you a black Christian? Are you a brown Christian? Are you a white Christian? Are you a blue Christian? I don't know what color. It doesn't matter to me. If you are, you're part of my family. Amen. We're all one in Christ Jesus. Amen. We are the family of God. Every race that confesses Jesus is Lord. What a great privilege that we have. I'm going to ask you a question. We are members of the household of God. Does that verse that I just quoted there in Ephesians 2:19, does it not blow you away? I mean, really, did you ever just think about that? I mean, we're members of the household of God. I mean, that should make us shout. We're the only people that's going to make it. Do you understand? Everything is going to pass away, but the church is not. The gates of hell will not prevail. Oh, man, does it make me want to shout? I'll tell you what it does. It brought the greatest apostle that ever walked the face of this earth, knowing when he realized the family of God and all that God has done, it brought him to his knees in deep, intense emotion. He was in prison, and he was on his knees with a guard right next to him, and he was in chains. And what did he write in Ephesians chapter 3, verse 14? He says this, for this reason, in a prison cell in Rome, for this reason, I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Why did Paul get on his knees in a prison cell? As he was penning this prayer, I bet that guard was going, what? This guy is weird. You know what Paul said? What brought him to his knees, what took his breath away, is that how God had taken two different people, the Jew and the Gentile, and created one new man, one new body. The word new in the Greek means something that has never existed before. It had only existed in the heart and the mind of God. The church, you. Man, Paul said that pushed him to his knees. Let me finish part of his prayer. He says, oh, this reason I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom, here it comes, the whole family in heaven, the whole family in earth is named. All the redeemed on this planet right now, all that has been redeemed, and now that is in heaven, we're just one big family. Now, I want you to listen to me. In the midst of all that we're facing in this 21st century, in 2020, the year that God has given to us, listen to me now. We are God's family. And we are the only family on this earth that belongs to God. That should make you shout. That should make you, when you walk out the door today, say, I belong to the family of God. We are his children. Now listen, we are the church. Listen to me now. We're the church, but we're more than the church. We are the church from which Christ our Lord, who has been given all authority, heaven and earth, he rules through the church. Do you understand? Because he's the head of the church. He governs the whole universe through his body. Think about that. I go, oh, Lord, I would go to my knees like Paul as well. So what does Paul say? He says, therefore, you be imitators of God as dear children. And then he tells us in the next verse how we are to do that. Look at it. And walk in what? There you go. Walk in love and look at our perfect model we're to imitate. Walk in love. How? Well, as Christ also loved us, given himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling aroma. Now listen, the lifestyle of a true believer is love. I'm not talking about eros or that sensual love or phileo, which is a brotherly love. I'm talking about that Greek word agape, which is a supernatural love. It is the love of God. And there's only one place you can find that kind of love and one place you could obtain that love, and that's heaven. Galatians 5:22, the fruit of the Spirit is love. That's God's love. Oh, man, our lifestyle is one of love. And you know, when it says walk in love, that doesn't mean one day or just one month. It's present tense. So it means a continual, ongoing lifestyle, a life that is ruled by the love of God. So that means, loved one, that love then is the ruling principle in everything that we do. I mean, everything. Our thinking, our acting, whatever we do in our life. You know, I am so thankful. You say, well, Bill, I don't know if I can love people or not. Well, where did you get that? That's a lie. Did you know that? Yeah, the Bible teaches us that we can love just like God loves. Now listen, just like God loves. It says in Romans 5:5, for this hope does not disappoint, for the love of God, his very own love, has been poured out, and that word means poured out lavishly, into our hearts by the Holy Spirit, which has been given unto us. You're not going to get any more of God's love in you. Does that make sense? So God says, everything that I poured into you, now you start imitating me, you let that love start flowing out of you. Because why? Because that is the lifestyle of God's dear children. And more than that, it is the highest test of a believer. You know, so many times, well, this guy, he's flowing in miracles. Well, praise the Lord. We should flow in miracles. Amen? That's right. The gifts of the Spirit, they didn't die. But that doesn't mean a person's a Christian. John the Baptist, did he do any miracles? No. Was he a man of God? Jesus said there's no one like him in heaven or earth. No one. Not like John. See, what really is the sign? What is the true witness that a person really has been born from above and that he is a new or she is a new creation in Christ? What is the one thing that we can look at and say, that person's a Christian? It's love. It's the highest test known to a believer. When Paul the Apostle, when he penned 1 Corinthians, isn't it interesting that what did Paul do? Between chapter 12 of 1 Corinthians and chapter 14, what's the chapter between those two? 13. Well, the 12 and 14 have to do with the gifts of the Spirit, you know, which gets more emphasis than on chapter 13. Chapter 13 is about love. See, love is the only way that the gifts of the Spirit can truly operate God's way. Love, nothing else. That's why Paul said in 1 Corinthians 13:1, he says this, though I speak in the tongues of men and angels, and if I don't have love, I'm just a sounding brass, I'm a clanging cymbal. In other words, I'm just a person that makes a bunch of noise. He says, I can have the gift of prophecy. You know, I can understand all mysteries. I can have all knowledge. I can have all faith so that I could even remove mountains. But if I don't have love, I'm nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, give my body to be burned, in other words, end up as a martyr, but if I have not love, listen to what Paul says, it profits me nothing. We are the children, the dear children of God. And the sphere that we live in, think in, operate in, walk in, is his love. We're to imitate his love. And we are to imitate the greatest example, the greatest person that ever walked the face of this earth. We're to imitate Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Look at verse 2, who loved us and gave himself for us. So the lifestyle of love is now for the believer is narrowed down to one person's lifestyle. The way he lived, the way he acted, the way he thought. Whatever he did in love. His name is Jesus Christ. Amen? He is our Lord. He is our Savior.
Well, we are out of time for this broadcast, but please don't miss tomorrow when you can hear the remainder of The Believer's Lifestyle. And in the meantime, enjoy the rest of your day. God bless. If you'd like more information regarding Calvary Chapel Fort Worth, Love Never Fails International, or the Love Never Fails radio broadcast, please visit our website at ccfortworth.org or download the CCFW app. Pastor Bill would also like to personally invite you to join us for any of our three services here at Calvary Chapel Fort Worth. For service times and directions, please visit ccfortworth.org or call our toll-free number, 866-729-1999. That's 866-729-1999. If you're unable to worship with us in person, our live streaming allows you to join us virtually via the CCFW app, Apple TV, Facebook, YouTube, or our Roku channel. So, until our next broadcast, may we encourage you with these words. Love bears, believes, hopes, and endures all things. Love never fails.